Amen. Let us stand for our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. Let us join in it together in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Today's scripture lessons are Proverbs 22, verse 1 to 2, 8 to 9, and 22 to 23. Our second scripture lesson is James 2, verses 1 to 10, verses 14 to 17. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word.
I'm sharing today from both lectionary passages, beginning in Proverbs 22, verses 1 and 2. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. And now from the Epistle of James, the second chapter, beginning in verse 8. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's verse 8 of that second chapter. And then jump down to verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. We can learn much from the so-called wisdom literature of Scripture, as both Proverbs and the Epistle of James are classified in Scripture, along with other such notable books, for example, Job and Psalms and Ecclesiastes. Indeed, the book of Proverbs is cited by many as one of the most popular books of the Bible, and is well known for such memorable pearls of wisdom as these. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Or from Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Or from the very first chapter of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and understanding. But while the book of Proverbs is easily recognized as part of the genre of quote-unquote wisdom literature within the Bible, the small book of James is not always thought of as being part of this same classification of Scripture that falls into this category of quote-unquote wisdom literature. But in the book of James, we also find such pearls of wisdom and instruction, such as what we heard last week from the first chapter of James, where James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And we also heard last week from James, that same first chapter, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And then even later in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So these and other verses from this compact book of James, which is only comprised of five chapters, give us all some very practical advice for how best to live our lives in harmony with God and in alignment with the will of God, as we spoke about last week. So accordingly, from Proverbs and James this morning and all of these other so-called wisdom books of Scripture, it is important for us to recognize that real wisdom and real knowledge and real understanding in life don't just come from school or from college or from any other forms of academic endeavor or intellectual pursuits. Of course, we can and should learn from these and any other vocational pursuits, which are important for imparting the skills that we need in our jobs, our careers, and in general for what they can teach us about many other subjects and topics of interest. But what these other forms of academic, vocational, and general overall intellectual pursuits cannot teach us are the deeper life skills and life lessons that all of us will need as we seek to make our way through the changing seasons and circumstances of our lives. These other forms of academic and vocational and general overall intellectual pursuits cannot give us that which we need most in order to survive and transcend the many different ups and downs, twists and turns, peaks and valleys that life can and will throw at us. They cannot and will not adequately by themselves prepare us to face the kind of emotional challenges we will face in raising our children, in weathering times of personal and communal crisis, or in learning how to find and cling to our highest and best selves, while recognizing and steering away from the temptations and the worst parts of our human nature. Because while all of us are indeed capable of great good, and Scripture reminds us we were all created in the image of God, and God considered everything God created to be good, Scripture also reminds us that we as humans are also quite capable of sin and evil and choosing to follow the worst instincts of our human nature and abusing the very freedom God has granted us to make our own choices in life. And for sure, all of our overall academic and vocational and other intellectual pursuits cannot teach us what we most need in order to live a life that is ultimately pleasing to God and that allows us to function at our highest and best selves. So we can have all of the high school, collegiate, and other formal academic and vocational training and preparation in the world and still not understand some of the most basic principles for how to deal with everyday life situations. And we can view cable broadcasts, listen to radio podcasts, and engage in all kinds of social media and still not find what ultimately we have need of. And while common, practical wisdom about life in everyday life situations used to be something that was passed on from one generation to the next through our elders, there are newer generations now that have been raised in a different cultural and social environment and therefore no longer trust in or believe in the same religious institutions or have the same appreciation for the set of selfless sacrificial values some of our elders had. I remember my mother consistently saying to me in my formative years, and you've heard me say this many times before, son, if you think you know it all now, just keep on living. And what was implied was that unforeseen situations in life itself might also impress upon me one day some of the life lessons I had yet to learn in the quote-unquote know-it-all years of my youth. So what was implied when Mama said what she said was that sometimes life itself can become one of our greatest teachers. Not because we didn't hear it first from our elders, from our mothers or fathers or grandmothers or fathers. Not because we didn't learn it first in church or in Sunday school. But sometimes we only hear or learn something for the first time when life itself teaches us something through the school of hard knocks. Sometimes we have to repeat the same life lesson over and over and over again until we learn whatever it is that God intends for us to learn in order for us to move on to the next chapter and verse of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's a way to learn what I need to learn from somebody else without first going through the school of hard knocks, then sign me up for that course. The Israelites knew this. And this is why they taught and passed on from generation to generation the wisdom their elders had received from on high from God. Some of which became known as the quote-unquote wisdom literature of Scripture. So whenever we read a psalm or a proverb or whenever we read something from the book of Ecclesiastes or Job or even from the book of James, we're receiving instruction for how to deal with everyday life situations. So in Proverbs 22, verse 1, this morning, for example, we hear that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. Now, how many of us start out after high school or college by plotting our lives, not by how much money we can make and how fast we can make it, but instead by searching first for our God-given purpose and then following the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit in whatever ways it may lead us, such that we stay true to that God-given purpose, which is stamped in our hearts and resides at the very core of our being when we were first created in the mind and an image of God. God created us for good things. God created us for great things, but we had to find that purpose and that image for which we have been created. And if we stay true to that God-given identity and purpose, since everything that God initially created was good, it will ultimately result in us having and keeping a good name. And that is a name that brings honor to God and that exemplifies and reveals us as people of good character to all those whom we encounter. So Proverbs 22, verses 1 and 2 says, again, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. And James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, part of our lectionary reading says, my brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? God makes rich and the poor alike. And we have seen it said in Scripture that the rain also falls upon the just and the unjust alike. If you think because someone may have more than what you have, they won't have their share of life issues or problems, think again. Sickness, disease, and tragedy can strike anyone at any time, rich or poor, and everything in between. So life experience for both rich and poor is the great equalizer. And all the money and material possessions in the world cannot erase the defects of our character or the injustice of any of our actions as we go about our lives and face our individual and collective challenges. So if the wisdom of Scripture says it's more important to have a good name rather than great riches, we ought to take heed. And then we ought to ask ourselves the question, then what are the characteristics that make up a good name? And the book of James reminds us of what some of these characteristics are that go into making a good name for ourselves. James chapter 2, verse 8 gives us perhaps the one key in all of Scripture that will determine what kind of person we are in the eyes of God. And this one key is so simple that it can be summed up in one sentence. James chapter 2, verse 8 says, you do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is why this commandment is referred to as the quote-unquote royal law, because it summarizes just about every human action that will characterize who we are and what we should look like in the eyes of God. You can have everything else, but if you don't have love for your neighbor, you're missing out on who God created you to be. What's that chapter in Corinthians? I can have all things. I can have prophetic voice, this and that, but if I have not love, just like I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just making a lot of noise. And if we want to see what this royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, looks like in person, and to further know the characteristics of a good name, then we need look no further than Jesus himself. For Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, now think about this, though he was God-like in God, in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For not only did Jesus believe that he had access to divine power from on high, but he also had the courage and steadfast sense of belief to step out on the deep waters of his faith and to act on the substance of his convictions. Not only a person of faith, but a person of action, works. Faith without works is what? Dead. This is what the book of James also says, faith without works is dead. So Jesus not only showed us what it looked like to be fully connected to the mind of God through faith, but he also demonstrated with his very life that faith and good works in terms of honoring God and loving and caring for our neighbors as ourselves go hand in hand. It's hard to do one without the other. So if we truly want to know the characteristics of a good name, then look no further than Jesus. But Scripture again says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. Favor with whom? Favor with God. Better make sure you have favor with the right sources. Favor with God will get you that favor with your boss or with your banker or with your doctor or with whatever situation in life you may come up against. The individual may be the vessel, but God, God's self, is the source of such favor. Our riches or wealth, should we acquire or attempt to hold on to any, will not long be remembered. But what we do to honor God and to love and serve our neighbor will not soon be forgotten. And if ever we don't know which way to go in life, if ever we don't know what to do in response to life's many changing and challenging circumstances, if ever we don't know how to best honor and serve God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, we can always use another pearl of wisdom from Scripture in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. Wisdom on high that even the simple of us should be able to acquire and make use of for the living of our lives. Amen, and thanks be to God who allows such things to be so.